Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you doing over there in Maui, I see, huh?
Aloha ke akua. Yeah, we are. We're here. It is a little cloudy today. And as you said, you know, sometimes it's hard to discern the cloud from the fog, but actually the last week or so, we've been here a week or so, and the fog has not been that bad. It's really been sunny.
You think it's rain clouds today then, huh?
I think it looks more like rain clouds today than fog.
And, good deal.
We're going over to the Big Island tomorrow, so we might really run into some fog over there.
Where are you going, Kona side or Hilo?
Kona side, some friends of ours are at the YWAM base, Youth with a Mission base there in Kona, and going through a six-month DTS, kind of a discipleship training.
Really?
Deal.
About?
Yeah.
Tell me what's it about.
Yeah, it's folks that are thinking about maybe becoming missionaries.
Really? Can I? Oh, gosh, when does it start? Tomorrow, huh? Oh, that's a little too soon for me.
Yeah.
No, I think that is so cool. Missionaries like anywhere and everywhere in the world?
Yeah, they do. They go everywhere. And this training center on the Kona, in Kona, big college kind of campus thing there, just outside of town. And it's been there for years, and it's been kind of the base operations. They have one in Honolulu and one on Maui, but this one is the big, big training center. And everybody goes there first to get trained, and then they decide, you know, which country they want to go to, and then they do like a two-month kind of check-it-out thing to see if, you know, it's really what they want to do. And
you mean they actually go for 2 months, not like 2 weeks? Like, isn't that a long time to check something out to see if you want to do it, or is that the minimum commitment?
Yeah, it's about, I think it's about commitment. I think after 2 weeks, probably everybody would think, I want to get out of here. So you got to fight through that, I want to get out of here.
Really?
Probably.
Wow. So how do people, when they do the missionary, though, how do they have to be able to have enough money to pay their bills back home to do this, or what?
You know, yeah, that's, in the case of our friends, it's a family. It's a pastor and his wife who we're good friends with, and they're, you know, they're our age, 50-ish, and they have teenage kids and basically five of them, and they just put pretty much their lives on hold back on the mainland. Had somebody, actually the guy's pastor's dad, take over doing the church, and they basically pulled the kids from school and said, we're going to go do this for 6 months, you know, and
wow.
It's kind of an adventure, and also kind of a perspective of the world.
And then they homeschool them, right? So, but you have to be able to pay your bills to go away. I mean, not to sound like a dumb question, right? Like, it's not like any funding or money comes out. You've just got to be able to do this, right, when you want to go.
Yeah, you not only need to, you know, obviously be able to pay your ongoing bills back home or whatever, but you need to pay them. There's a cost, you know, involved in the training as well. So, and you raise it like any other missionary would. You know, you ask friends and church people, and you kind of raise your own support, and they really won't let you actually enroll until you've raised your support, so that's not an issue.
No, I think it's so cool because our show today is about home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
And, of course, you and I always take the real estate and then the self-help and tie it in together, and we're all about getting people to lift up that part inside of them to do what they need to be doing, or so that they're happy and healthy and everything. And I think that really, that shows too, because home is where the heart is. Like, you take a family that's going to go do and do missionary work, right? And it ties in with what we're doing. It actually does. It's in realizing the differences that we can make anywhere and everywhere, and it's not about the material stuff, you know? So.
Yeah. Absolutely, and that's you know, I didn't even think of that as I began to mention that, but it does, it absolutely ties in because, home is not, you know, and in real estate, of course, we absolutely, and I know you talk about all the time, I mean, we love our homes and we love, you know, the physical building and the neighborhood maybe and all of that stuff, but it really, home is really where you are with your, you know, your spouse and or your family, and, you're right. It is where the heart is. And you know, being in transition like they are and like we are, you know, that can sometimes get a little, I guess, confusing, and you need to sort through it and work through it. You know, when you're in a brand new place and you're used to another place, it takes, I think it's just human nature to get used to, you know, a new surrounding.
Yeah, but I think, it, you know, you have people, they're buying homes, selling homes. And many people go through, and of course, there's every TV show out there today to tell you what to do, how to stage, what to do, you know, all the classic 101 stories. And but you have people, and they know, okay, they're relocated, they're going to move here, they're going to move here, there, they're upsizing because they're having babies, or maybe they're downsizing because they're getting older. There's just so many things that happen, right? And it's really interesting, though, to look at it and realize through life experiences, it is about the family. It is about where you are, you know. It's about, you know, having the peace and the love where you are and enjoying that moment and that day, right? Not about, you know, I remember, I mean, you and I have, like, great stories that we can tell, Randy, just from life experiences, you know, that over the years. And I look at, I downsized so much in Maryland to move to Hawaii, and now I go back and forth, and God always blessed me, and I had a really big house in Maryland that I remember renting out when I first moved back to Hawaii, and in like 3 years later, I was like, oh my gosh, the place was getting so trashed, and I was back in the property just to check things out, and I said, you know, I'm not being a good steward of my property, because my son and my dogs were in Hawaii. My brother was still in Maryland then, you know, and I was just like, but I'll be in Hawaii more than Maryland at the time. This was back in like 03. So I said, it makes sense to sell it because when the whole family was in that house, there's no way I would have sold it, you know? And it's just kind of interesting when you go back and you look through all these things because I go back and forth between Hawaii and Maryland, and actually went back to a property that I had bought in 1987, moved out of in 1990, and if you would have told me even 10 years ago, you'll be back staying at that property, I would have been like, you're crazy. Are you kidding? That's a rental property. It's not going to be big enough. It's not going to be this. It's not going to be that. I wouldn't want to be the neighborhood. I mean, those types of things that looking back now sound really silly, but you hear people talk like that all the time, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, or it's just not good enough or whatever. And I don't mean to say that and sound like we should compromise our what we like or what we want. You always need to make sure you're comfortable, okay? But it's interesting when you go through the life changes and you do travel and go here and go there and you take your families with you and you start to realize home is totally where the heart is. It's not about how big is this home? Do I equate to the other Joneses? Do I do this, do that? You know, it doesn't, it's no matter where you go in the world, you take yourself with you. And it's pretty interesting. And I think, like right now, you and Monica decided, Monica's wonderful. I mean, you guys decided you wanted to go back to Maui for a little while, right? And you made it happen within, what, 60 days?
Yeah, we've been planning it, you know, for a couple of months. But, yeah, exactly. And it is. It's an adventure. we're staying with some friends right now in a home in Wailuku, and you know, nice home. In fact, it's a missionary's home. There's a missionary who
really?
Is in South America who's gone most of the year from here, and it's a really nice home. And when he's away, you know, he rents it out to folks, and it's kind of become a crash pad for people doing various sorts of missions. So it's kind of a cool house, and Yeah, it's exciting. It's but you're right. It is. Home is where the heart is.
Absolutely. But you know, Randy, I just want to go back. Like when you first started wanting, having your, well, I guess you had a love for Hawaii for a long time. But when you first started saying, I'm not just going to visit, I'm going to live there, I'm going to do it. Wasn't that like, 2004, 2005, and we're now in 2012, right? Wasn't it like around that period, 2004, 2005, somewhere around there? The only reason I'm bringing it up is I bet when you were first doing that then, it was much scarier. Then now you're going, come on, we're going to go check it out. We're going to do whatever. You know you're solid in your marriage. You know things are cool. You know you can do that, right? Wasn't it scarier the first time that you branched out to do it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When you've never done it before and it's, you know, and the other thing, and I'll just, you know, we always kind of bring the God factor into
God's real.
Yeah,
the God factor.
Honestly, the thing about the reason it's not so scary this time around is that, you know, it's something that's kind of kept bubbling up. And I found that when things continue to bubble up, you know, and you ask God to maybe take them away, and he doesn't, and they're still there, that there's something there. There's a purpose there. And, when people always at a crossroads, and that's what you're talking about, you know, folks in transition, when they're buying and selling houses, the transitional thing is, what are we going to do in the future? They may be looking for a new job. And I've always found that you look back and see, what have you been doing? What has been coming up in your life? What are the things, the passions, the things that you've been doing that keep coming up that you've been prepared for? And you can kind of look back and see what you've been doing, what your giftings, what your passions are, and how those have been, you know, pushing you along your journey, and really continue to pursue those. And so that's what we're doing. We're helping some folks put a radio station together on the west side of Maui. And so it's Maui.
That's
and radio.
Awesome.
And, you know, yeah.
That's so awesome. And you know, the funny thing, the fear factor, I think fear is what stops a lot of people from doing what they really want to do. And then, you know, how they say practice makes perfect. After you've done something a few times, the fear starts going away, right? But the home is where the heart is so important. I mean, because you have people right now with the economy downsizing, and then maybe many people are starting to downsize because they realize they don't need the maintenance of, you know, a 5,000-square-foot home. They don't need to pay the gardener. They don't need to do this. They don't need to do that. I mean, many times the kids have all grown up and they're gone off to college, and it's time to downsize, and the parents want to go travel and do other things, right? So it's just amazing, though, because it really is home is where the heart is. It's not the four walls that we live in. With that said, yes, you can go create and be where you want to be. You don't want to be in the ghetto. And when I say ghetto, you don't want to be in a dangerous area that, you know, whatever. But you can create. And even if somebody's in the ghetto, just to give you that example, it doesn't mean your life's over. It means somebody can go day to day and their plan is to get out of the ghetto, you know. I just bring it up because it really hits home, especially with my brother right now, because I would have done anything to have him here right now. But it hits home in the sense of traveling. As much as I travel, as much as I've done, as many risks as I've taken, you know, it really is where the heart is. And I bring it up because sometimes you hear people that maybe didn't take as many risks, maybe were protected constantly or just stayed within one area and didn't venture out, and all of a sudden their husband lost his job, maybe, and he doesn't have enough money to put them in the comfort they're used to. And where they need to really stand by their husband, they're getting mad, they're getting frustrated, they're lashing out, which isn't going to help the husband. Or it could be reversed. It could be the wife that was supporting the family, and she lost her job, and the husband's upset because his lifestyle's changing. And, you know, and sometimes these people go through situations, and they end up in a divorce, only to look back 5 years later and go, oh, my God, like, why did we do that? Why didn't we stick by each other, right? So we bring it up because home really is where the heart is. You can, you know, lots of times people want to run away and they want to go to other places because they think that's where paradise is, and many times it's right in your backyard. You and I always, we do the real estate and then the self-help, and I thought with this show, I just kind of wanted to banter back and forth and tie it all in together, you know, with real estate and
and
spiritual.
Life.
So, yeah, but we will, for any listeners out there, we've been doing some different things with our show, and now we're going to start having a lot more speakers on the show. We're going to start getting interactive with some things. We'd love you to call in. We'll be doing a lot more. Start within the next 30 days, and this right now is June 13th, so that just if anybody's listening to archives later, it's June 13th, 2012. So we're going to see a lot of changes in the next 30 days because we're just going to start taking it full speed to where we believe Randy and I have talked about many, many over the last so many years of where we need to go with it. So, but the home is where the heart is. I mean, when you're, you know, when you're starting out, it doesn't mean that, you know, you may be starting out and buying something smaller and deciding to do X, Y, and Z, and you may find out that you never want to buy anything larger than what you're in. You know, you may have grandchildren and have been in one area forever, and all of a sudden your kids have moved out of state because of jobs, and they're having babies, and you realize, oh my God, I want to be near where the grandchildren are. So you're going to relocate. Maybe you're going to relocate to an area that costs 10 times as much as where you are now, right? Or it could be less or whatever, but I'm just giving an example. If you relocate and you end up in a two-bedroom, 1,000-square-foot place and you've just been in a 4,000-square-foot place for 30 years, what's more important? Is it more important to be near your grandchildren and home is where the heart is, or is it more important to be back there in the, you know, 4,000-square-foot place that's just empty space and you're by yourself, right? So I'm just bringing those things up because we always get into those little areas where a lot of times nobody wants to speak about it, I think, is what it is. You know, I think that's what I find. Or somebody's going to say it's too elementary or don't talk about that or leave that to this or leave that to whatever. So that's where we are right now. So anyhow, how's Monica doing? Is she just, did you guys come over together or did you come over separately?
We came over together she is she's doing well. She's in fact, come on over here. She's right here right now. Let me get
Hey, Monica.
Hey, Natalie. How you doing?
You are just amazing. I've got to tell you, you're one of those women that needs to get a Women of the Year award. You are just amazing. You really are. You're just amazing. Don't you agree, Randy? She needs a Women of the Year award.
A Woman of the Decade or Millennium.
A decade. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we talking about moving, and I was thinking about this when you were talking about the topic today. And our first, how many years of marriage?
Our first 10 years of marriage, we moved 23 times.
No way, 23 times?
Yeah.
First 10 years of marriage. I was in youth ministry, you know, a youth pastor at a church, and that's a part of our story we tell in our book that we've written that how about the healing of our marriage, but. I was running, and anytime I, you know, would get close to somebody who would challenge me to any area of growth in my life, you know, I'd take off and I would move on, and we would even after we had kids, we moved. So the first 23 times.
Oh my goodness, really? I didn't know that. Wow, that's amazing, Monica. How did you do that?
You know, I don't even know how I did that, only by the grace of God. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't like it, but I, you know, knew that home was with Randy and my family. But
wow.
You do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes
there's
sense.
A place where we kind of dug our, planted our flag in Chico, and we lived there for 12 years and managed a radio station, bought a house, raised our kids. So we eventually did settle down, and in that period of time, getting intense marriage and personal counseling, which, really helped in terms of not having the happy feet, as it were, you know, and wanting to move on. And and then, you know, of course, 4 years in Central California, and then back here on Maui now. And with the kids gone, it's a little easier to be a little more mobile. And I think, and I guess you run into this, Natalie, with couples who empty nest syndrome and
sure.
Either want to travel or lives half the time maybe in Hawaii, half the time somewhere else, and be kind of
we run into, you know, the empty nesters, and then we also run into people getting older and older and living longer, you know, and then they have to like sell these homes and places they've been in forever and go to assisted living or these retirement communities, which is so can be devastating at that time because who wants to do that? You know, when you think about it, like who wants to do that? But people make the transition, you know, just step by step, and it's really about different life changes and lifetimes. So, hey, what's the name of your book?
Broken Parts, Healed Hearts, New Starts, The Healing of Our Marriage is,
Healed Hearts.
Broken Parts, Healed Hearts,
okay.
New Starts.
Oh, wow.
It's available on our website at randymonica.com, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I love that.
But, yeah, it's just that's kind of sums up our story is that we had, I think we all humans have broken parts, some of us deeply broken and deeply wounded, you know, the key to moving on in life and being all we can be and is allowing God into those broken places and getting healing. So broken parts, healed hearts, and then new starts. And one of my favorite verses.
Wow, go ahead.
I was just going to say one of my favorite verses is, and I can't even quote where it is, but, you know, his mercies are new every morning. And we get a new start every day and a divine do-over every day, and that's a very cool thing.
Wow. You know what? We're going to take a break in about 2 minutes, but I wanted to ask you something. And, Monica, I've got some questions for you, if it's okay with you, because you get, like, you get the award not of the year but of, like, the quarter century. you get a really big one. I have some questions because, Randy, you know how you and I both kind of have similar backgrounds when we were little. And we see a lot of people walking around, you know, when they're wounded as adults, you know, even though everything looks great. And I just wonder if sometimes it really takes somebody else that's going to be that strong, like Monica, to understand that. Or, you know, because many people maybe are just more self-centered, and if things aren't perfect, they're just going to walk away, you know, type of thing.
Absolutely.
And I'd love to touch on that when we come back, because I think that home is where the heart is really is so crucial, and that's what gives people the strength to do what they need and love life and not always focus on just their surroundings, you know, or just what's going on, right? You know, and sweating the small stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. She, you hit it on the head. I mean, we couldn't be where we're at. I couldn't be personally where I'm at today were it not for her being so selfless and loving and committed when everybody else said, you know, I was hopeless, stuck with me. But she
must have known something or seen something, right, Monica? That's what I'd love to know, because, like, a lot of people wouldn't even notice it, see it, hear it, care, whatever. You know, I mean, that's really important, really important.
Oh, well, I saw all the potential. I saw all the potential, and I just, that's what I wanted to come out, but it took a long time and a lot of work and healing before, you know, we get to where we are now.
Wow. It's amazing.
So we'll talk about that. You want to take a break?
Yeah, and then we'll come back, and that'd be great. Awesome.
Okay.
I wanted to give you four specific examples that I'm going to cover at the end about how a product called Silk tripled their sales by doing one thing, how an artist named Jeff Koons went from being a nobody to making a whole bunch of money and having a lot of impact, to how Frank Gehry redefined what it meant to be an architect, and one of my biggest failures as a marketer in the last few years, a record label I started that had a CD called Sauce. But before I can do that, I got to tell you about sliced bread and a guy named Otto Rohwedder. Now, before sliced bread was invented in the 1910s, I wonder what they said, like the greatest invention since the telegraph or something. But this guy named Otto Rohwedder invented sliced bread. And he focused, like most inventors did, on the patent part and the making part. And the thing about the invention of sliced bread is this, that for the first 15 years after sliced bread was available, no one bought it, no one knew about it. It was a complete and total failure. And the reason is that until Wonder came along and figured out how to spread the idea of sliced bread, no one wanted it. That the success of sliced bread, like the success of almost everything we've been talking about at this conference, is not always about what the patent is like or what the factory is like. It's about, can you get your idea to spread or not. And I think that the way you're going to get what you want or cause the change that you want to change to happen is you're going to figure out a way to get your ideas to spread. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're running a coffee shop or you're an intellectual or you're in business or flying hot air balloons. I think that all this stuff applies to everybody regardless of what we do. That what we are living in is a century of idea diffusion. That people who can spread ideas, regardless of what those ideas are, win. And when I talk about it, I usually pick business because they make the best pictures that you can put in your presentation and because it's the easiest sort of way to keep score. But I want you to forgive me when I use these examples because I'm talking about anything that you decide to spend your time to do. At the heart of spreading ideas is TV and stuff like TV. TV and mass media made it really easy to spread ideas in a certain way. I call it the TV industrial complex. And the way the TV industrial complex works is you buy some ads, interrupt some people, that gets you distribution. You use the distribution you get to sell more products. You take the profit from that to buy more ads. And it goes around and around and around, the same way the military industrial complex worked a long time ago. Now that model of, and we heard it yesterday, if we could only get on the homepage of Google, if we could only figure out how to get promoted there, if we could only figure out how to grab that person by the throat and tell them about what we want to do, if we could do that, then everyone would pay attention, we would win. Well, this TV industrial complex informed my entire childhood and probably yours. I mean, all of these products succeeded because someone figured out how to touch people in a way that they weren't expecting, in a way they didn't necessarily want, with an ad over and over and over again until they bought it. And the thing that's happened is they canceled the TV industrial complex.
And we are back again. Seth Godin, it is as sometimes as simple as that, and sliced bread. I love that. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening and whenever you're listening. Realty Universal Radio, the name of this show, and Natalie Mullinex is with me. My name is Randy Zachary, hanging out with my wife, Monica. And the number to call in, by the way, if you're listening live, is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. And really, the topic today is home is where the heart is. And, of course, in real estate, often, you know, Natalie encounters families, well, not often, but all the time, in transition, one level or another. It could be that they're moving locally and it's not so traumatic, or it could be, you know, they're moving from across the country and it's a whole new world to the family, to the kids, and all of that. And so home is, though, where the heart is, and that's the thing. We do get kind of connected to neighborhoods and buildings and those kinds of things, but it really is where the heart is, where the family is. And I know, Natalie, you wanted to continue your conversation with Monica a little bit.
Yes. Monica, you're a saint, I'll tell you. When home is where the heart is, being in the industry for 27 years, I see a lot of situations where people are upsizing, downsizing, relocating. They have grandchildren, maybe they're moving to assisted living. You have young military families, and then the military families usually are moving for the next 20 years, et cetera. There's so many situations, and sometimes change, well, I shouldn't say sometimes, I think change for humans is very difficult and when you're not used to it. And when change comes, sometimes instead of somebody grasping and realizing that it's really where their heart is, what are we doing, it's for the better, people can be negative about it, they can be upset, and not grasp the good, finer things that God wants us to look at in life. And then sometimes you have situations that end up badly when they could have ended up in a good situation, you know. With me saying that, there are times where people are going through serious domestic violence and dangerous situations where they need to run, not just like stay there, but they need to get out of it or go to counseling or definitely go to support groups to learn how to deal with it. But in the normal, well, I don't want to say normal. Randy and I talked about that last week. What's normal, right? Because everybody has different levels of what's important to them. But in the day-to-day things, most people find that life's pretty good, really pretty good. But if we look at it in the bad way, it could be pretty bad. So you have been amazing. I respect you both so much. You both are so amazing. We've known each other for a while. And I just wanted to ask you, when you went through the transitions with Randy moving, I didn't realize it was 23 times in 10 years?
Yes.
And how did you know that this is the man you love forever, this is home is where the heart is, you knew you were centered, you were focused? I mean, how did you just not fall apart and say, I don't know what to do, I can't do this anymore?
Well, there were times that I did fall apart, you know, but I just had to find that strength within and just say, you know, I got to do this. I mean, I grew up in one home. From the time that I was 2 years old, my parents bought their first home, and I did not leave there until I got married.
Wow.
Well, the moving around thing was definitely something new to me. I just didn't think people really did that, but, you know, here we did. And, you know, it just brought really formed character in me. I had strength I didn't know that I had. There was a lot of stuff, really, the Lord had showed me and what was building in, that He was building in me, to be who I am today, and it continues. I mean, it just doesn't, your growing doesn't stop. So there was a purpose for all of that, and, you know, God
wow.
used it.
Were you, at the time, were you, like, really, were you going to church constantly? Were you into the Bible? Were you, I mean, what were you, like, as far as with God, or did you just feel God in your spirit, or?
Oh, you know what? We definitely, you know, were church attenders, you know,
right.
We were youth pastors.
Because
so,
you were,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, so we were going to church, and a lot of the times I would work at the church that we were at. So, you know, we were very heavily involved in church, and that was probably a really good thing for me. That gave me great connections with friends. You know, it just gave me a sense of community when we would move somewhere and I didn't know anybody. So that was just a huge help and just really started me on the process of really now trying to teach women that they need other women in their life for whatever they're going through, whether it's a family thing, whether it's a moving transition, whatever it is, there have to be people in your life, speak into your life, help you, laugh with you, love on you, pray with you, all of those things, because we just can't do it on our own.
So we kind of need to learn to have support groups, right? Because you always hear sometimes when women maybe, I don't want to just say women and men, but you hear where, you know, say a woman gets with her husband and then all of a sudden she forgets everything else, right? She's just so focused on her husband and her family and forgets her support group. So you're saying we need support groups no matter what's going on in our lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just, I'm a huge advocate of small groups, home groups, support groups, whatever group fits your need, go find it, because you, it will be life-changing for you.
That's amazing. I love how you say that, because you always heard over the years, they say, you know how like raising children, we raise our children, they said it takes a community to raise the child. And lots of times we don't think about that. So we have parents, you know, mother, father, or just mother, many, many single families. I mean, I got divorced when my son was really little. He was first left the first time when he was 6 months old, went back when he was 3 and a half, and then got completely divorced when he was 6. And so I, you know, I would hear constantly, it takes a community to raise a child. And it sounds like that's what you're saying with everything, right? We need our communities. We need our support groups. We need our so that we can handle what we're going through, because so many of us, I think, tend to isolate and try to deal with everything ourselves, which isn't good. And no. And so it gives us a more healthy perspective. And it's interesting that you say you stayed in one house all those years. I was an Army brat. I was born in France. And we moved, well, my mom's French, but we moved many times. And then my parents divorced when I was 11 in Hawaii. And I still moved, and then I was out on my own at a young age. And I had my son very young. And there was something in the back of my head. I wasn't taught it. It wasn't like I don't know if it's instinctive or what, but there was something in the back of my head that said, no, I want to raise my son in one area. for his own good. You know, it was kind of and I did. I stayed in one area until he was 21, and then I moved back to Hawaii, and he followed me. And I have to say, my son is extremely well-rounded, extremely confident, extremely comfortable in a lot of areas where I wasn't so comfortable growing up, you know? So I just wonder how that, yeah, it's just, it's interesting how, but I wasn't taught that. So you know how some things just come instinctively and then you just do it and you see. So that, I guess, were your parents really a good support system when you were having issues too, or did you rely mainly on the women at church?
You know what, my parents were a huge support system, but the problem was that they lived almost 4 hours away. And so they helped as much as they could. And yet I learned that because they weren't close, that's where I learned that I had this inner strength that I didn't know that I had. And to be a single mom and to work full time and to have to do it all, I didn't realize that I could do it and that I was stronger than what I thought I was. And that was my first experience with a support group of women.
Wow.
That just really loved on me. We supported each other, and I learned what it was really like to be vulnerable with another human being. I was not taught that as a child or in the church world growing up. I learned that as an adult. So it was life-changing for me.
Now, you know, you wonder, you could have gone another way. You could have said, okay, I love God and I feel that I can handle this now. Randy, goodbye, Randy. Goodbye, right? You could have said, okay, I'm strong. I don't need this.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on my own way. I'm strong. I can handle it all. Goodbye. So what gave you that inner strength and wisdom to know, wait a minute, this is God-centered. This is where I'm supposed to be.
You know, everybody in my life at that point told me, get the divorce papers ready. And there was just something in me that I just said, you know what, I'm not ready to do this. I want to know that I have tried absolutely everything before I call it quits.
I
want to make sure that all my business was taken care of with Randy, because I didn't want any buts, ifs, woulda, shoulda, coulda come up later, you know. And he was the father of my children, and I wanted to do everything possible to make sure that we could make this work or not. And so I just held off, and there was just that little voice in me that just said, hold on, because just around the corner, good things are coming. And I know that that was God speaking to me.
That's fantastic.
I got a great man.
You knew he loved you and you loved him. You knew it. You could feel it. You knew it. And God was speaking to you. That's amazing. No, that's amazing, because so many people are so caught up in all this other minutia that they're not even looking at the deep part of it. You know what I mean? They're just reacting.
That's where the support group comes in. Frankly, I couldn't see past the nose on my face. You know, I was always pointing the finger at Randy and saying, you know, why isn't he, and he should have, and why didn't he, you know. And they helped me be able to see the bigger picture, because I was in so much pain. When you're in pain, you just can't see beyond your nose. That really is what good friends are for, is to help you get through whatever it is that you are going through right now.
Wow, that's amazing. Because you hear so many good stories, horror stories, everything, and it's just amazing that you were so strong to do what you did, you know. I knew different people going through different situations where you just want to say, hey, hang in there a little while, and they don't want to hang in anymore, but it's because they just get exhausted, but they need to hang in there, you know, unless, of course, there's abuse and things like that, but.
Right.
It's amazing. But, you know, it's funny, though. Without God, I just don't know how we all make it. I just don't. I've never been able to. I would never have been able to make it without God all these years. There's no way.
Me either. I don't know. I don't know how people do it. So, that was awesome.
God, you're amazing. You're amazing. And I bet right now you and Randy are helping so many couples with the marriage counseling and the ministry. It's just amazing.
Well, yeah, you know, people talk, when we say, you know, that when we come here, we come here for the marriage ministry. I mean, people, kind of, you know, any excuse to go to Maui. But if you were to Google, if you were to Google Marriage Ministry Hawaii, there is nothing.
Really? You're kidding me.
There is nothing in the state that is an ongoing commit, you know, marriage. I mean, you know, individual churches have their marriage ministries, but in terms of any kind of a co-op or any kind of an intentional statewide thing, and literally as we're sitting here today, just before we went on the show today, we got, Monica got a text from, you know, a gal who wants, you know, to meet with us today. And I was sitting yesterday at Starbucks, and this guy sits down, and it's a guy that we met 2 years ago in Molokai, and we counseled he and his wife. And he just sits down at my table
right,
and starts sharing what's going on in his marriage. And I'm just saying that once you, and you and I know this, once you get intentional and you go down the path that God has for you, it just, it explodes. I mean, there's...
You know, in Honolulu, there's a huge domestic violence center, and I bet they would love to have you do your sessions there. It's huge, you know, down in on Oahu.
Yeah,
and
yeah. We're actually hooking up with the folks at Salem Radio there in Honolulu. Yeah, we'd love to get stuff going over there on Oahu for sure.
You know, it's funny, when we go with Home is Where the Heart Is, there's so many different places people are at, you know, and I was mentioning earlier about the, you know, going back and forth from Hawaii and Maryland and then going to a house that I sold in, well, I didn't sell, I bought it in 87 and moved out in 90. And if you would have told me 10 years ago I was going to go back into that, even temporarily, I would have said, you've got to be kidding. It's a rental unit. I'm not going to go back there. And it actually is perfect for what I need to do when I'm in Maryland, you know. So it's and I've actually had some people say, oh, you don't live over there, do you? And it's like, what? Excuse me? You know, and it's funny because when you finally realize God has a mission for us, the same as when you were talking about the people doing missionary work, taking their family for 6 months into another country, which I'm sure the living conditions are not like why wouldn't even say Hilton? They're not even as good as the Hilton. I'm not going to go to the five-star hotels, but they're definitely conditions that have nothing to do, you know, that their survival conditions. Really, it just makes a big difference. We start to realize how humble we are and what's really important in life, isn't it? And it's funny how many things that are so, the most important things in our life don't cost money. Isn't that weird?
Absolutely.
But gosh, Monica, you're amazing, and the tools and what you've learned. Because I grew up in a different situation, and I always had to be Miss Independent. I always had to be the leader. I had to be the strong one. And I grew up in a situation where in my 20s and 30s, I would have probably rather had been in a boardroom of all men than women, because I found that lots of times the women were complaining about this and complaining about that. And I mean, I wasn't in the right situations, so the men would be more lighthearted, and it was easier just to conduct business, right? So I didn't find, even though I had a few women that I was close friends with, I didn't find the support in the women as I have now as I'm older. Now I'm 50, and now my closest friends are women that I've known for 20, 30 years. You know what I mean? We've kind of, you know, we always stayed in touch, and then you finally realize those are your support people, right? But back when I was younger, I didn't find that a lot in the business world, you know? So it's interesting. It's really about, I think it really is about loving God, trusting God, and having a foundation, right? And getting in there and looking at the big picture. It's almost like looking at the finish line, like we're here today, where are we going to be before we die or when we die, instead of reacting to everything that comes up every day. And when you look at a lot of bad situations that are happening in our world, lots of times everybody's reacting. They're not looking at the big picture. You know, I get upset when I see the politicians accepting things they shouldn't accept, and they're not looking at how it's going to affect their children, their grandchildren, their community. They're just looking at how it's going to take care of them, you know. And I'm not meaning all politicians, because that's a very tough I wouldn't want to be a politician. That's a tough place to be. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, and there's many good politicians, but I think it's really interesting. I just my hat's off to you, because it takes a lot of strength to be able to see that, you know, because it's so easy to go, forget it, I'm done, I don't want to do this, you know. It's very hard.
Yeah, well, and she, by the way, she stepped away for a minute, but she absolutely was, you know, and she was in that place where for a while she didn't know. You know, there was that period of time where she
wasn't sure.
Yeah, she really, you know, like I say, she filed for divorce. We
that was what, after 10 years or?
Yeah, after 10 years. And she filed. And I remember the day she filed. I was working out in the gym. I lost a lot of weight and thought I was Joe Cool. And I was in the middle of a workout in a gym. And this person comes up and asks if I was Randy Zachary. I said, yeah. And she said, here, you've been served. And it was divorce papers. And you're right when you said earlier that the things that really matter, you know, have nothing to do with money. I remember everybody started patting me on the back and, oh, the big D, all these guys were like, yeah, I got divorced.
Oh, they're such idiots sometimes. I don't mean to be rude, but that's just a common thing that guys do. They don't mean it in their heart. They're saying it out of their mouth, but they don't mean it in their heart.
Yeah, well, and I played along, and then, of course, I went out in the car and cried for 2 hours because I realized my life without her would be, she was the best thing that ever happened to me. You're right about the things that don't matter. When you said that earlier, the things that matter really aren't about, you know, money or costing, and it's true. And I think often in my experience, and this is kind of a weird take on God, but it kind of makes sense that God loves us so much. And this isn't that he's an angry or mean God. It's that he loves us so much that he'll take away everything that is meaningful to us so that we know that he's the only thing that really matters. That, you know, and I've seen that true. When God, we were in that place where he took away, you know, our house and
but why do you say he took it away? That you don't think maybe it was like the devil? I mean, you don't think it, you really think it was God?
I have come to kind of believe that that he does love us so much that he'll take away whatever we think is more important than him. Whatever.
Oh, you mean if we think something's more important? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, things more in a hierarchy.
Like if we idolize something or we think it's just the only thing that's important. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
That big house or that big job or family or whatever it is that that's above him on the important scale, he loves us so much that he'll take it away. And that seems like a cruel God, but when you think about that, you know, and we've experienced it where we were in those deep dark places, we found him to be more real than we ever did in the good times.
You know, it's funny, with my brother dying, I felt so guilty, and I'm going to counseling about it because I didn't do, I mean, I was a great sister. I know I was a great sister, and we loved each other so much, and we still love each other forever through eternity, but I still feel guilty like I could have done something or whatever, you know, and it's funny you say that because my brother loved God, but he was so entangled with a girl who wasn't like your Monica, you know what I mean? She was very, it was a bad news situation, And it's weird because he was so giving and so caring, and he loved God. He gave me a picture of Jesus, you know, a painting. It's framed in this gold frame. It's beautiful of Jesus in Christmas. And God, he died January 15th, and he gave it to me Christmas last of 2011. And I'm like, he knew, but he didn't know. You know how we get our grasp on it? And I think that male ego, like you said, you were in the gym, and you got the divorce papers, and the guys are going, oh, the D word, and, you know, like, of course, and then you go in the car and cry for 2 hours, right? Because you don't want that, right? But the guys get so macho and such, their egos mean so much. I mean, my brother, I talked to him 4 hours before he died, and he was fine. And something so bad happened the last hour and a half, and I know the ego, the male ego, you know, the whole whatever, the girl's cheating with the other guy's being a jerk and whatever, and the other guy's like gross, and she's gross, and here my brother's dead, and I'm going, oh my God, what? Like, women might not look at it that way. I'm not saying every woman, because lots of women maybe react to, you know, but we might look at it more like, ugh. Like now that I'm 50, if a guy did that, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm glad I found out now. Goodbye, good riddance. But when I was married, when I was young, I was upset, right? But I'm just bringing it up, and like, my brother's dead because of the freaking ego. Like, you know what I mean? And you know, other things happened that day and everything. And it's just, it's really amazing the peace that you find with God, the serenity, the stability. Like, the one thing I love about the Bible and God, and I'm not, you know, you and I, we're Christian, but we're not telling people you shouldn't be other religions or anything like that. We're never like that. We're never going to do that to anybody. We're never going to say it's one way or the highway, just in the sense of people need to feel be where they are. But the thing about God is God doesn't change. God doesn't react. God doesn't flip out. God's the same every single time, right? And it's very painful. Like right now, I'm going through so much pain, and then I realized I believe in God so much. I love God so much. If I love God so much, how can I want to quit everything because my brother died, because I'm not accepting that he died? And then I realized I have to accept this because this is part of life too, even though the way it happened is really bad. And that'll come through eventually, you know. But no, I see what you're saying. And Monica's been wonderful to you. And it's just amazing how, you know, we're blessed with God still looking after us, right, through the struggles and through the pain. And, you know, I don't think God, I mean, look at the Job and look at different people throughout the Bible that started giving sacrifices, and God said, no, you don't have to sacrifice. It's okay. That's not what I was meaning. You know, he just wants you to love him first and really honor him. But I don't think God's a punishing God. And I think we have the biggest thing, and you and I talk about it all the time, is love and peace is what's so important in the world. But it's really, you know, it's interesting. We get on these topics, like I feel like, oh, my God, like real estate to me is the vehicle, and I've done it for 27 years, and if somebody wants to sell or buy, and we've got affiliates, and we've got programs, and they're wonderful, but when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, we're all human, and we all have our own stuff that we're going through every day, right? And
yeah.
It's interesting, you know, but some of the things, though, that happened, I was talking to one of the ministers, and of course I was raised Catholic and everything, and we did my, but I was talking to one of the ministers that I'm going to see tomorrow, and I said, I just don't understand how this happened to my brother. Like, he's like, Natalie, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I still don't understand, but I trust God. You know, and he's been doing this for 30-some years, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but Monica, you're a saint, because I don't think I'd be that good. I mean, I know I wouldn't be that good. I mean, I just couldn't. I mean, I don't mean it in a bad way. I'm just saying that I think that now that I'm older, I would understand it better. But I think you're a saint to be able to understand things at a younger age in that perspective. You know, don't you agree, Randy?
Yeah. I do.
No, really. I mean, absolutely. Right. Would you have been able to if the tables were turned? No.
I used to say, you know, that I'm all out of miracles, that I've met my miracle quota. I mean, God can't, I don't get it anymore. But you know what? That's not true, because, you know, in years, even as we sit here today on Maui, getting ready to put a radio station on the air, doing what I love to do, where I love to do it with my beautiful wife, beside me, I'm realizing that the miracles continue in our lives if we look for them, if we expect them, if we really believe that Psalm 37:4 says he'll give us, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart.
Randy, you know what? He really does, and it's really difficult because he totally does. But then you still are connected to other people that you love tremendously, right? And then when they're not as connected as you are, then you have to go through some of their pain. You know what I mean? Like, just does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, he does. Like, I can't believe the miracles God's put in my life, you know? And then the pain that I'm going through with my brother, Leonard, what? And then I feel guilty because I knew better. Like, why didn't I drag him out of that, you know, mess? But I did what I could do. And so, like, it's funny because we're connected to other people who may not, they may love God, but they may not understand it at that point yet. You know how we all grow at different points, right? So
yeah,
then you still take their pain along with your pain, and you're going, okay, I got to just trust, you know. So you're right. It's really amazing. It's very amazing. But, you know, it's very
it's both
very
and. It's both blessing and pain. I mean, there's going to be both in life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. You know, it's true. I think both of those verses, they don't contradict themselves. He will give us the desires of our heart. There will be blessing. There will be joy. There will be peace. And there will be pain. And it's both, you know. And it's scary, I guess. And unfortunately, it's not all bliss all the time. I think people read that and go, oh, well, it's going to be all bliss and joy all the time. No, there's going to be seasons of intense pain, as you're experiencing
yeah.
right now. And, you know, and we've been through those, believe me, and even since we've been married and since we've been through our, you know, our stuff, there's still seasons of, and when I say a season, it can be a week or two of
right,
going
exactly.
through something with one of your kids and
right.
you're aching with them because they're heartbroken or,
right.
you know, they've had disappointment. And, you know, we feel all those things because we love people in our lives and we hurt with them. But it's the overall, you know, the overall for me, the overall thing is the decision we've got to decide is, you know, do we really believe God loves us? And if that's true.
And that we live for eternity, right?
Yeah.
And this is just one piece of our existence, of our soul. We have to keep going and go. Yeah, you're right. Hey,
that's
Randy, I know we only have about 4 or 5 minutes left. Is there
yeah.
any way on our show you could post like the link to the missionary work on the Big Island where you can sign up and find out what it costs and all that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Can you do
you
that
know,
on, our,
can,
on our archives and everything?
Yeah.
I want it, too. I want it for me personally, but I want to give it to our listeners so that they can check into it, too.
Yeah, it's the organization is Youth with a Mission. It's called YWAM. And it's, you know, you can Google YWAM, Big Island, or Kona. You know, there's a huge website, and YWAM has a whole, you know, a whole ministry. And we can absolutely post that as
okay.
well. Yeah, so that, yeah, if folks want more information on that, if you're
is
just
it dot org or dot com?
What's that?
Youthwithamission.org.com.
You know, I'm not sure. I think
it's okay, well, you can post it. Okay, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great organization, and you know, it's young and old. If you're in a place where you're like, you know what, I'm done living my life for me, I want to help other people.
Right.
It's a great decide to do that, you know.
Awesome.
And more people are doing that, even my age. You know, 50
cool.
people. You know what,
you're not old, Randy. You're not old at all. So, okay. No, you're not old. You're very young.
It's been a great show. I mean, I love
yeah.
kind of we did it today and combining.
I love bantering back and forth. I love bantering. And Monica's just, she's an angel. She truly is an angel. She's like a saint. You know, she's going to be up there with Mother Teresa, believe me. You just don't, no, honest to God, people don't realize what it takes to persevere through those types of times. When it makes sense. Now, it's different if somebody's, like, got a wife beater or the husband's getting beat and they're getting killed and hit with bricks. And you know what I mean? There's different. There's certain situations where you need to run out of them or go to counseling. First, I think everyone should go to counseling so they get a perspective of what they're doing, you know? So we're not trying to tell any of our listeners that if you're in a very abusive situation, go be a saint and deal with it, right? But there are situations where somebody knows, hey, wait a minute, my husband or my wife, they really do mean well. They are good. There's other issues. This isn't... You know, so I think that's where the counseling and the 12-step programs and the awareness comes in and the support, because when you isolate and you really get, when you're so alone, you know, it's really hard. So here we go, Randy. Here it's home is where the heart is, and we went back into our spiritual soul stuff like and just like disregarded the real estate, but it doesn't really disregard the real estate because real estate to us is a vehicle and right? And that's what it
yeah.
means. It puts us in touch with the people. When it comes to real estate, we know it like the back of our hand. I could do it with my eyes closed. My son used to say to me when he was 7 years old, Mommy, I heard you talking in your sleep. And, oh, my gosh, you were talking about real estate. And I started asking you questions. And the bad thing is you answered the questions, and I was sound asleep, right? So I'm just saying, and we're talking, my son's 33 now. So it's not like we don't know our expert fields the way we know them. But this is about real life, right? Tie it all in, right? And that's what we're about. So,
absolutely.
Anyhow, but I'm going to come out there soon, too. I'm making some decisions to come out pretty soon just based on what I need to do because I can't sit there and isolate. And my brother, I love him so much, and I've been so devastated about my brother and so upset. And I know my brother would be very mad at me if he knew that I've been isolating as much as I have, so I've got to come back out there.
Yeah. Hey, the website, by the way, is realtyuniversal.com, realtyuniversal.com. For information, if you've been listening to Natalie and, you know, hearing her heart this hour, said before, you don't get to be the number one realtor in the state of Hawaii.
Oh, it doesn't mean anything.
Well,
thanks.
Without loving and caring people, and you know,
yeah.
and that's kind of what you, I know what you're all about, and I obviously that's kind of manifested itself in your success in the real estate industry. But this show is really, I think, for us. And you, I know, taking that kind of that next step and giving back to the world and helping other people.
And
you two
are prime examples. You've been doing it for years, you know what I mean? And that's what it's all about. It really is.
We've got 30 seconds. We're about out of here, Natalie.
Okay, all right. Well, everybody, I wish you peace.